Good morning. One quick announcement this morning. Spring break road trips are around the corner, and we have a CD for your time in the car. The Hope College Worship CD is available now. It's called Fairer, and it's on sale at the Keppel House. And we've got a special deal for students, so bring your ID and stop by the Keppel House sometime this week. Our text this morning comes from the book of James. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and pull those out or turn those on, however you do, and open up to the book of James, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? And so if Sally sells seashells by the seashore, she sells seashells on the seashore, and the seashells she sells are seashore shells. I'm kidding. That last part isn't really in scripture. But these verses from James, they sound a little bit like a tongue twister, don't they? I mean, all the judges and judging and laws and law giving. I even wrote these verses out piece by piece, word by word, and I was still totally confused as to what was going on. So I think it's worthwhile this morning to kind of break this down a little bit together to make sure we're all on the same page. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. This seems fairly straightforward, like something we learned from Disney movies growing up. James is talking to the church, a group of disciples, people who walk through the doors of the chapel together, who sit next to each other or behind one another in the pews. And he says, don't talk poorly about one another, in public or in private, whether you're making the whole thing up or you're passing on what you heard from someone else, or even if you're certain that this is true, James says, don't say ugly things about each other. Someone once told me, if you wouldn't write it down and sign your name on it, don't say it. Especially in this family, around this table, we don't say words that tear each other down. We want to say words that build each other up. But let me tell you why this isn't as easy as Bambi makes it seem. Because this chapel, this college, speaking even more broadly, this family of Christians is made up of a whole lot of different people. And just like your biological family, you don't get to choose who's part of this family of God. I guarantee you there will be people who look different than you in this family. I guarantee you there will be people in this family who think different than you do. There will be people in this family who speak different than you do. There will be people who intimidate you. There will be people that bother you, that rub you the wrong way. And there will be people you get along with perfectly. There will be all sorts of people in this family. And James says, we don't speak badly about one another. Family rule. Because, and James goes on, whoever speaks evil against one another or judges one another, did you catch that? I think this is really important. James uses speaking evil about one another or judging one another. He uses those things interchangeably in the same way. Why? Because if I laugh and say, dude, that guy cannot throw a football, or wow, she asks really stupid questions in class. If I say these things, what I'm saying is I know how to throw a football. I know what a good question is. I have superior knowledge of good and bad, And I can judge who falls into what category. And I'm probably going to put myself in the good category. Now, these are kind of light examples, but James reminds us that when we speak maliciously about one another, not only are we hurting someone else in the family, but we're also giving off, sending the message that I am superior. I have become their judge. I have power over another person, and I have become like God. Whoever speaks evil against one another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Again, James highlights this move that's in all of us, inside of us, this wanting to become a judge, to want to know it all, to want authority, to want to be like God. And this isn't a new concept. Not for us, not for James, not for anyone who's heard the story of Adam and Eve. Do you remember this story? It goes something like this. The serpent said to her, "What did God really say?" And she responded, "Well, we can eat from any tree in the garden that we want. Apple trees, orange trees, peach trees. We can eat any of it, except for the tree of good and evil. We can't eat from that one. We can't even touch it or we'll die." The serpent scoffed. "You won't really die," he said, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So they thought about it for a minute, Adam and Eve did, about what the serpent said. And when she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was beautiful and that it would make her wise and esteemed and knowledgeable and confident and popular and well-known, she went to the tree. She reached for some fruit, plucked it off the branch, and ate it. And Adam, who was right there beside her, ate some too. And you guys know the rest of the story, right? This is the first splintering crack from which all the world's brokenness stems. The brokenness that we feel inside of us, that we see around us, we can follow these cracks all the way back to Genesis 3, to Adam and Eve, and this prideful moment. This instinct to want to know, to be judge, to have that kind of power of others over others, like the serpent told Eve, it's an instinct that runs deep in our family history. I have a friend who's got a family history of heart disease. And so she and her father pay special attention to what they eat. And they pay special attention to their cholesterol levels, and they pay special attention to when and how they exercise, because they know that they are prone to this disease. And James is telling us, we also have a family history of heart disease. It's a different kind. It's not the cholesterol kind. It's the spiritual kind. And we need to keep a special watch on our words, our tendency to put others down. We need to keep a special watch on our desire for power and authority in this way, because we are prone to this disease. And so James concludes by drawing our eyes away from ourselves and up to God. And he says, there is one lawgiver and judge who's able to save and destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? There is only one person who knows all real goodness and real truth. There's only one person who has all real knowledge and power and authority to actually judge rightly. There is only one judge who's able to save and destroy. And the craziest thing is that this one person, this judge, decided to stand in our place and receive the judgment that we deserve. Karl Barth says it this way: the judge was judged in our place. And so for us to run around and gossip about petty things or put each other down in some foolish attempt to like climb over one another and be the person on top with the most power and the most authority, with the better knowledge, to be tempted to be like God, like Adam and Eve, for us to do this is really stupid. It's stupid. We're missing the bigger story. And we're missing the chance to show the world the bigger story. That Christ, who is God, took on flesh and dwelt with us. And he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, for us. With him, we died. And with him, we are raised to new life. Hallelujah! He was judged so that we don't have to play judge. And instead, we are free. There is freedom in this. We are free to speak words of new life, of redemption and hope. Let this thought, this encouragement, be on our tongues this week and as we enter into spring break. Amen.